I'd like to read with you tonight just the one verse in the book of Nehemiah. Book of Nehemiah and the second chapter. I'm glad to see all of you have come tonight, and we trust that what we would say would be a help and an encouragement to all. Book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, and reading verse 6. Nehemiah 2, verse 6. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? It's this last clause I want to just put emphasis upon. So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. It pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. And we do know God will have his blessing to read it on his own word. I'd like to do something tonight that I have really never done before, and look to the Lord for his help in doing it. And that is just to give you some indication of certain things that led up to my going out, as we call, full time in the work of God. This verse that I have read has been a great encouragement to me. It came at a particular time in my life when I needed it very much. So it pleased the king to send me. I had the great privilege of being brought up in a home where the word of God was read and respected. I think I've mentioned already over the conference time, my mother was brought up a Presbyterian, very strict. Every Saturday she used to let us know about what they had to do in relation to the Sunday. So much water brought from the well, all the shoes polished, everything about the farm got in order, so that very little work would be done on the Sunday. My father was brought up Church of Ireland, but they only went once every year. That was at the harvest Thanksgiving. So they both really came from different walks of life. But God, in his wondrous grace, came in and reached and saved them. It would be an interesting story if we had the time just to tell how God came in and saved both. And so, not only were they saved, but baptized, and they came into fellowship in the assembly in Europe. And I had that great privilege of being brought up in a home like that. And that was a great privilege indeed. What impressed me very much, I must say that as a young boy, I wasn't so impressed, perhaps, with the preaching of the gospel. But the meeting that left an imprint upon my mind was coming on the Lord's Day morning. And sitting behind and watching the saints remember the Lord. That has left an impression upon me that has never left me. And even though I sat there as a young child, not saved, I had longings down deep in my heart just someday that I would be amongst those folk. I knew they had the most important thing in life. Impressed upon me was something of the holiness of God. Impressed upon me was the thought of reality. I could see big men, strong men, getting up. Oftentimes they would read maybe Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, and some of the Gospels at the end to do with the sufferings of Christ. I knew those men. I watched them read them, and I could see the tears run down their cheek. I knew there was something to this. This was real. And there was begotten down deep in my heart that someday I would have the honor and privilege just of being associated with them. I had faithful Sunday school teachers, one particularly by the name of Jim Bammer, now in the assembly and in Enniskillen, but I do remember very well the night Jim could see. I was sitting in the same gospel meeting, Jim was invited in from the street. God reached and saved him. And when Jim sat down in the class of boys and told us that salvation was real and salvation brought a change, I could not deny that for one moment. I had seen it in his own life. Many meetings I attended, I was saved as a boy of 11 and a half. There were many times I would have loved to have been saved. I suppose I can never remember a time when, if you'd have asked me, would I like to be saved, I'd have told you I would. I never resented the message of the gospel. I knew that I needed it. And there were many times when, in the quietness of my own room, I would have tried to be saved. Try to believe, try to come, try to trust, try to work up enough faith. You know, the night I got saved was just one night after a Sunday night gospel meeting. Coming home from that meeting, I was attending those special series of meetings. I ought to encourage my brethren very much for a Sunday night gospel meeting. Souls get saved then too. And I came home and down deep in my heart was this longing, I will need to get this settled. And I need, if I can at all, to get it settled tonight. And again I got down my Bible and read over those verses that I've read so often. Tried again to put my name in. Tried to feel saved. Tried to trust all I could. I remember taking my Bible and putting it over to the side and saying, look, I have tried this again and I can get nothing out of it at all. Began to think of the work of Christ, why the Savior suffered. And there was a verse of Scripture very precious to me. John 19 and verse 30. Came to my mind with freshness. It says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I thought to myself, it is finished. What is finished? The Savior's sufferings are finished. The work of salvation is complete. I just thought to myself, well, if the work's done, why have I been trying for weeks and months? All I've been seeking to do is add to a finished work. I came to learn, simply by faith that night, the work of Calvary was already complete, and God was satisfied, and all God wanted me to do was simply to rest upon that work. Maybe there's someone in this room tonight, and you're not saved. A great meeting for you. If you would just rest where God rests, come to appreciate that God is satisfied. His righteous claims have been met at Calvary, and as a poor sinner, just to rest there as well. Sometime after that, I think I was around about 14, and was baptized, committed fellowship in the assembly at Mere. I wasn't long in the assembly, but the brethren approached me. They said, now, we're needing a Sunday school teacher. They'd like you to take a class of boys. And I said, well, I would be happy to do that if you think I'm fit enough to do that. And they gave me a little class of boys, I remember. It was a different platform than here, but they just put the class of boys up on the behind the platform. So I was on the platform very soon. I had that little class of boys. Eight or nine boys, just about the age of 9 or 10. I wasn't really a lot older than they were. But I had the privilege of teaching them every Sunday afternoon. That was a good exercise. But that gave me someone particularly to pray for. And if you have a Sunday school class, it's good to do that. Mention them every day at the throne of grace. So I had to get down to my Bible. I had to read every week. I had a message to find for that class. I'm glad to say that God came in, and over the years, a number of those boys were saved. 5 or 6 of them today that are in assembly fellowship in the North Ohio. It was good just to see tokens of blessing over the years. Another work my brethren encouraged me to be engaged in was not only the children's work, Well, one particular brother in the assembly came to me and said, "Lumpkin, you should have an exercise to visit the elderly saints in the assembly. There are some that are old, some that are sick, not able to get out. You should make it a point of going and visiting them." And that's a great work. And I would encourage it to all. I'm sure there are many, many lonely saints in this very Senate, and hardly ever see anyone calling to visit them. I was in a place having meetings some time ago, having gospel meetings, and I said to the brother that I was staying with, who was an elder in the assembly, I said, "I would like to visit anyone in the assembly not able to be out. We went to visit this particular sister." And when we were sitting, we weren't long at our home, but she opened her Bible. She said, "You know the last time I got a visit from an elder in this assembly?" I said, "You don't know." So then I could be 50 months before her arrival. "You hate me for doing that, you know." Of course, that is not just for the elders in the assembly to do. That is open for every brother and sister to do. And there are many saints who would be greatly encouraged if you called to see them. And I'm glad I was encouraged to do that. The brother that asked me to do that, he said, "Now, remember, Malcolm, you need to pray with them and have a little word." And then he said, "Don't be very long." That was very, very sound advice. But I did find myself then in a Sunday school class. Now I needed a little word of ministry to meet the need of saints. There's a little verse in Lamentations that says it's good that a man bear the yoke in his youth. And those things did me good. Well, a little time after that, my brother came to the assembly in Gary, Eric Wishart by name. He was going to have meetings just outside of Yearly. And the brethren encouraged me that I would share with him in the gospel. I had taken a few Sunday night gospel meetings, I never should say. Brother Stanley will know the place, my first meeting. My first attempt at preaching was in Passau. I went with two other brethren. I was back there maybe 18 months after that. And the brother who... one of the brethren that was there on my first visit, he said to me after the meeting, he said, "You're a little longer tonight than your first visit." He said, "I'm sure I was." He said, "Do you know how long you were on your first visit?" I said, "I couldn't say. I know I wasn't long." Well, he said, "I just took a note." And he said, "From you left your seat and you got up and read your text and told how you were saved and got back down on your seat, he said you were 3¾ minutes. Now, I couldn't have been blamed for keeping them long. I trust I don't do that tonight. But when those meetings came, that was a new experience for me, just to preach everything. But another point I should say as well, those meetings were not so far from my own home, just between Yearly, and he lived about 2.5 miles outside the town. These meetings were just about 1.5 miles out of the town. So it meant that I needed to go around all the neighbours and farms where we live. I did the folk to come. That's not easy. But there's a great principle laid down in our Bible in Luke chapter 4. It says of the Lord Jesus that he entered in to the synagogue at Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he stood up for the reading. "I have no moral right to come to Vancouver if I couldn't do it in my own community." The Savior stood up, where he was brought up. In those meetings, God came in and blessed. And souls got saved. We thank God for that. And there are some in assemblies over in Ireland today that were saved at those meetings. You later, dear brother, Jack Noble, came just to where we were living. We had a portable hall on our own farm. We had a children's meeting there week by week. And I came for gospel music. That was really my first life with our dear brother Jim. And it was going to be a lasting friendship and partnership. I enjoyed being with my dear brother. And from then on, I had many happy times with him. He really invited me across this way in 1974. I had my first series in the gospel with him in Canada, in Brackendale, in Toronto. And there are some in the assembly there today. And God reached and saved and moved me. I've had a number of series with Jack in Canada. Matter of fact, I shared the very last series of gospel meetings with him in the Shetland Islands in the north of Scotland, 3 weeks in the gospel. I didn't know when we finished those meetings. We came home on a Monday, but on a Saturday of that very same week, God took our dear brother home. But he gave me great encouragement in the work of God and in the things of God. And he gave me very good advice. He said to me, "Malcolm, you just keep serving God and laboring for him until it comes to a point where the work of God is so pressing and you get so busy in that work that you cannot continue on with your daily employment." I thought that was very, very sound advice. And we have sought to be engaged in the gospel. Perhaps maybe should say, in 1975, I moved across to Scotland. At that time I was keeping company with Rhoda, who now is my wife. I was speaking to her brother Jim about this, and I remember the day that I approached the subject to her. Perhaps sometime, or I felt this for quite some time, that the Lord was calling me to give all my time in the work of God. I remember speaking to her about that. We were just keeping company. And I wanted to make sure that she would be happy with that. That's very, very important in life. It can be a great hindrance in the work of God if your partner is not behind you 100%. Neither my brother Jim nor myself would be here tonight if our partners were not behind us. It's a good thing to be away from home for long weeks at one stretch. And Brother did agree, she said, "Well, whatever the Lord places upon you, I will be happy with that." Moved across to Scotland. And another aspect of serving God, perhaps to open up and still kept the gospel. It's good to do that. But as some might know, in Scotland, on the Lord's Day, most assemblies have an afternoon ministry meeting, as well as a gospel meeting at night. Well, that was a new work for me. I perhaps had given a little word on the Lord's Day morning after the taking of bread for 10 minutes or something like that. The ministry meetings there are for an hour. You speak for 45 minutes and 50 minutes. That was a new experience. I mention these things, whether it was the Sunday school class, or visiting the older folk in their home, or the ministry of the Word of God. I thank God for all these things. It did two things. It got me to my knees, and it got me to the Word of God. And anything that does that must be useful in the work of God. And so I had to study my Bible in a way I hadn't done that before. I was always reading my Bible mainly for the gospel. It was our brother Robert McPeak said, he said he might well read it with two eyes, one for the gospel and one for the saint, because you're going to be reading it anyway. And it's a good thing to do that, just to read your Bible and have the sinner in mind, but also have the saint in mind. And I did find that just as time went on, I'm not going to mention a number of meetings that we had, but as week by week went by, we found that every weekend we were invited to a conference for the ministry of the Word, and then throughout the week as well. And it just came to that point in life when I felt I had reached that stage that my brother Noble had spoken to me about, that I couldn't keep on at my daily work and keep on in the work of God. I wanted a word from the Lord. One thing to feel that you might be doing, that you should be doing something. I remember going to bed one night and it wasn't really to sleep. I tossed and turned because I wanted something from God. And the verse that I have read, I remember getting out of bed and coming down to my study, getting down on my knees and asking God just to give me a verse, an indication that that is the way that He would want me to go. And the verse I read to you tonight is just that very verse. I began reading in Nehemiah chapter 1 and came to that verse in chapter 2. It pleased the king to send me, and I set him aside. I was wondering when I should ever approach my brethren about my exercise, but the verse just appealed to me like this. It has pleased the king to send me. And he'll just wait on you to set the path. I spoke to my brethren in the assembly in Ayr, and every brother in that room that night and said, well, I'm not surprised at what you're telling us. We have been waiting on this for a long time. Said to me, perhaps would you like another assembly to commend you as well as ourselves? I said, well, what have you thought? He said, well, what about the assembly that you're in before you came across from Ireland? I was in the assembly in Banbridge just before I moved across. And when I contacted them, they said, well, we thought you were already commended. You've been taking that many meetings. We thought you were already out in the work of God through them. I said, no, that has not been the case. I was commended from the assembly in Ayr, Prestwick Road in Ayr, and the assembly in Banbridge in Ireland. We continued to seek to preach the gospel. The last series that I had was in Ireland, in the town of Limavady, shared with our dear brother, Robin McDoan, and I heard from the brethren just a little time ago. Since the meetings, there have been four that were saved, and now they have been baptized and received into assembly fellowship. That's what really gives us the greatest joy of all. Not only to see the hand of God in salvation, but just to go back again in a month or two, or maybe a year or two, and to see those that trust Christ, now having obeyed the Lord in the waters of baptism, are now gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus. John could say, I've no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. It was an encouragement to me, even coming to Vancouver here, just to meet some of our spiritual children in Christ. So we continue to be engaged in the gospel. Perhaps you would remember, Sunday week, that will be the 13th of this month, I'm going up to Alaska to join our dear brother Tommy Thompson for 2 weeks in the gospel. We would appreciate the prayers of the Lord's people in that regard. We're having gospel meetings again, but maybe I should say when I go home, the month of May and June are engaged in ministry. In the month of July, we're having a tent down in Warrington, and joined with another brother, Robert Clapp, and we seek to have gospel meetings there. Engage in ministry as well, and perhaps I should mention just another aspect of things. 2 years ago, or a little more than 2 years ago, and out in the prairies in Canada, brethren spoke to me that brethren engaged in the seed sowers, John 3:16 text. They had mentioned a few names that they had got from Britain. They wanted to know about these folks, who they were, that I know them. They said, we really have a problem, for a number have written and they want these tax. He said it's not really economical to send 50 here or 500 to someone else. And I suggested to them if I would be any help, they could send a large quantity to me. And then I would see about getting them this distribution. And I've been seeking to do that. This last 2 years, I've given out something like 100,000 each year. I mentioned the assembly at Newry, and it just comes to my mind. They have received 27,000. Now, Newry's not an easy area. Something now like about 98% Roman Catholic. But they have an exercise to distribute those. They're going to do them by post. Or there are areas about Newry, Cross Midland, Fort Hill. They're going to cover those areas. And they're going to send them in. And perhaps you would remember that in your prayer. They're going to give them out. They'll be doing that just about now. It's an area that will not have been visited very much. And they say it has been years since anyone called at those doors or they have received anything at all in relation to the Word of God. We do trust that the Lord will bless that avenue of work. Robert Earle was very interested about my visit to South Africa, and just mentioned that as I close. I've been out twice, mainly for ministry, because that is really the greatest need there. They do have a love for the gospel, and that is good. You know, the very first day I arrived there, the brother that I was staying with, Walter Boy, in Cape Town, he said to me, "We're going to a birthday party tonight." I said, "A birthday party?" "Yes," he said, "we're going to a birthday party." And they said, "I want you to speak." I said, "What sort of a birthday party is it?" Well, they said, "It's an elderly lady in the assembly, an elderly sister." And she's going to have a birthday party. I said, "Well, I don't know the sister at all. You would be much better to speak, but I'll go along." Now, we arrived at the house was filled. And he didn't know what to expect, really. But what I discovered, it was just a gospel meeting. If I had known that, if he had told me that, I would have been happy to have preached. But as soon as we went in, they said, "Oh, the brethren are here. We'll have a hymn." And they sung a hymn. Another brother prayed. They had another hymn. And then Walter preached the gospel. And he wrote in prayer. And that was the meeting. That was the birthday part. You see, they take great opportunities. Every occasion they have a love for the gospel. A lady got saved when I was there. A young girl, maybe in her 18s. Noticed the brethren said to her, first of all, he said, "Do you have a meeting in your home? Do you do a lot of cottage work?" "No," she said, "certainly." You see, her father and her mother were not saved. And that was the first thing that they had in their mind. Now, we'll get another home. And then when folk will come, they do intend then that with that meeting, they'll get another meeting. And I explained to a brother, he was asking me about it. I said, the nearest I could get to it was like a Tupperware party idea. You know, why something goes there. So they're invited to that, and then the idea of those things is that you'll get to another few houses, not the way it works. Well, that's the way they work in the gospel. You enter a home, then the folk that come, they hope to get to another two or three homes. And many of the assemblies that we were at there, they have two and three cottage meetings consistently, every week, as well as a regular Sunday night gospel meeting. But they're great need, very much. Is for ministry. There have been very few out there around Cape Town and round about that have been there to teach the people of God. So we seek to engage in that work. I do trust you'll remember us in your prayers for the gospel, the ministry of the word, and for the going forth of the seed sower.